Good morning and Merry Christmas. Well, thank you all for joining us this morning and joining in worship with us. It's just it's an honor and a privilege just to get to worship with you and to get to be up here with before you on Christmas Sunday, as we say. Christmas is a couple days away, but this is our Sunday before Christmas. And yeah, just thinking about that song, like everything comes down to love, or to put it another way, love is everything, and love has come to live with us. Love is here in the person and life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fully embodied love and what love is. As we walk through our Advent, we walk through hope and peace and love and joy, and then we're on love today. And just wanted to focus on today of how Jesus is love, how Jesus fully embodied what love was. And just how we... Today we're privileged. We're born into the knowledge of the mystery of the salvation of God. How Jesus came down, he lived perfect life, he sacrificed himself on the cross for us, he died and he rose again and gave us that victory. How Jesus is the coming one, the one who all the prophets, all the Old Testament was pointing to come and to redeem and to restore. We live in that truth today. We live in that knowledge of Jesus. And it's a great and wonderful thing and something to share. But I think often we miss a little bit of the greatness and the excitement and the joy and the hope and everything that happened when those shepherds or the or Mary or whoever heard that Jesus, the coming one, was coming. And so I'd like us to step back and try to put ourselves in their shoes for a minute and just imagine Mary being in that room. There's a kids movie, what's it called, The Star, where there's this little mouse in the room when the angel appears to Mary. And so just let's imagine being a bunch of mice in that room for a minute and just seeing that angel come and speak to Mary and say, look, the coming one is here. He's coming through you. And just imagine how it could have been millions of other women, and God chose Mary and for Jesus to come through Mary. And just that excitement that would spark at the Savior. Could this really be? Is this really true? Is this really happening? Is he coming? And then imagine that being the shepherds in the field. So shepherds are kind of outcasts. They were unclean most of the time ritualistically, so they couldn't come into the temple often. So they were on the outside of the town, and that's who God chose to tell the good news to first, to announce the coming of his Son. Of Jesus, of love come down to earth. And just imagine this. Let me read from Scripture. As the angel came down to them from Luke 2. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Imagine that in the dark of the night, they're keeping watch over their sheep, and this angel of light comes before them, shining brighter than anything we could imagine in the middle of the night. And says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Just imagine hearing that, being surrounded. All of a sudden, you're seeing this one angel of light, and then the sky is lit up with angels, reflecting God's glory, representing him, and just announcing the joy, the goodwill that's been brought down in the person and life of Jesus Christ. And because of that greatness, that great news, that great announcement made to these shepherds, said so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Like, they didn't just go back to sleep, right? I don't think any of us, after seeing that, would have just turned in like, all right, let's go back to sleep. That was weird. I'm not going to eat pizza before bed again. No, they went to see what the angel was talking about. And they came with haste. They were running. They weren't just taking their time. They wanted to see this thing. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here's where I really want us to to imagine. And my wife talked me out of something I really wanted to do, so thank her for this. So I wanted to strew hay all over the place, bring in some manure so that we could get the feeling of like this was a barn. This was not some quaint little this is beautiful, but it didn't look like that. It was a feeding trough. And that's what these angels had just announced. And the shepherds come down to that feeding trough, and there's a babe lying in the manger. And that was enough for them. There wasn't a crown, there wasn't a great royal procession of the king that they'd been seeking and waiting for. But that was it. That was the sign that God sent. And they took that. They took the angels at their word. And then that wasn't it either. Then they went with haste again. They went out and told everyone they could find about what they'd seen. That love had come down in the person of Jesus Christ. Could we imagine that hope that would spark at hearing that news? Remember, for thousands of years, prophets have been speaking about this coming king, and he's here. That hope when someone announces he's coming, and then followed by the peace that knowing will be made right. God's here. There's something about, I know some of us come from broken homes and don't have perfect father relationships, but there's something about when things are going wrong, everything's just haywire, going wrong, and then dad's there. Like, everything's going to be okay. You might not know the answer yet or what's going to happen, but dad's here. It's going to be okay. And just imagine that peace that would come over us of God's here. Love is here. It's going to be okay. Because when Jesus came was one of the darkest times in history. It was, sin was rampant. God's chosen people, the Jews who were supposed to reflect him and be a house of prayer for all nations, the leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees were corrupt, and they were oppressing the people on top of the Roman oppression that was happening. And people were getting tired of waiting, and they were starting to take matters into their own hand and trying to be set free from that oppression. And into that darkness, where there was no hope, Jesus came quietly into the barn. Love came down in the person of Jesus. And so that peace, that God's here, he came down to make things right in that darkness. And followed by the joy, because even with all this great news, we've been told, we've been raised, I don't know if the culture at the time was this way, but if something seems too good to be true, it probably isn't. And so imagine the joy as you start to realize this is true. He really is here. That Savior's here. This is so good and so true. Love has come to live with us. And finally, because of Jesus coming, God showed us what love is. Not just talking about through his prophets, through thousands of years, expressing his love through words through them, and then through creation, of just the beauty of creation, showing his love for us and the way he's provided for us and cared for us. All that wasn't enough for God to show us his love. So he sent himself, he sent his son to fully embody and encompass love. And all of this is true because God came down to live with us, to give himself, to redeem us from the clutches of sin. And the reason God did it is what matters. So all of this greatness that God did, he came down in the midst of darkness. Why he did it is what makes it so beautiful. Because God himself, the Almighty, the perfect one, looked at us living in rebellion against him. Instead of responding in anger, he responded by sending the greatest love gift that has ever been given in his own son. And so Paul explains the importance of love in this really familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 13. I know it's not a very Christmassy passage, but it's where I want to focus on this morning. So in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith which can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Paul here is saying, at the end of the day, love is what matters. Like we've heard this passage quite often, but at the end of the day, If you don't mix any good works or anything you do, the greatest gift you can give, the greatest act of kindness, the greatest deliverance from oppression that you can give, if there's not love in it, the effects are very minimal or not lasting or not as powerful. And as I thought of that, I was thinking of Christmas and how we have, you know, most of us probably decorate with Christmas trees. And at least in my family, it's a lot of fun. We come together, we have the kids pick out ornaments, and we decorate the tree. You string it with bulbs, you string it with random crafts the kids have made, and you've made it with beads, and finally you string it with lights. And I picture this in a dark room, and you're ready to plug it in. And all these ornaments are here. Everything's beautiful. It's in the way you designed it, the way you want it to look. You have either an angel or a star at the top of the tree. If you're like my wife, it's a star. I grew up with an angel, so there's that debate, but it should be an angel. And so you have this topping at the tree. Everything is right and in order, but it's something's missing until you plug it in. And the lights bring it to life. They make it light, and it shines. It causes the sparkles on the bulbs to shine and to sparkle and to reflect that light, and it just makes it beautiful. Where without that light, without the power, without plugging it in, something's missing. It's just not quite right. It doesn't have the effect or the power from the lights. And that's what love is. It's that power. It's the greatest and most powerful weapon in the spiritual realm is love. That's what God chose to use to overcome sin and death. It wasn't great armies, it wasn't great power, other than through love. Love is how God conquered death and overcame sin. It's that power, it's plugging in, bringing everything together. So if Jesus had come and preached and died on the cross and gave us the same hope that we have today, but didn't love us, would it be the same? Would it be the same? We'd have the same hope, same salvation, we get to live forever, same promises, but no love. It would change things. Like Jesus loved us so much that he came down, he lived in a sin-infested world, he was born in a barn, in a feeding trough. Jesus endured all of that because he loved us, because he loved you, because he loved me, because he loved his creation. And he wants to spend eternity with us. He wants us to be with him for eternity. He doesn't want that separation. He loves us so much. And that's why he came. And that makes all the difference. It's his love. And so what is love? I don't know why I always have to define simple words, things that we should know what they mean, but what is it? What is love? In 1 John 4:14-16, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So I love this. We are gathered here together because of Jesus, because of love come down for us, because Jesus lived and died and rose again for us. That's why we gather together, because of that hope, because of that salvation, because of the greatness of who God is. That's why we gather together. That's why we're here. And so through Jesus, through love come down to earth, we now know love and rely on that love. I love that phrase. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Because God so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus. So we know what love is. We know who love is. And we can rely on that. Because we know Jesus never failed. He was betrayed. He was tempted more than anyone. Satan knew if he could get Jesus to fail, he could doom all of humanity. And he couldn't. Jesus did not fail. So we can know. We can rely on Jesus, on his love, on the love God has for us. And because of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus rose and ascended back to his Father, the right hand of the Father, he left the gift of his Spirit, God himself inside of us, love himself inside of us, and so that we can love others too. The power is turned on our Christmas trees. We can reflect his glory because love lives inside of us, when we know and acknowledge and rely on the love that God has for us in the person of Jesus Christ. So what is love? Love is God. God is love. And he sent down Jesus to show us that. And Jesus coming, he encompassed all the characteristics that are listed in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And so I'd like to take a brief look through these characteristics that Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and talk about how Jesus embodied and lived out these characteristics of love. So love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. And so there's so many examples and things we can go through of how Jesus embodied each of these characteristics. But for patience, the timing when Jesus came shows patience. Like, God had to watch his beloved, his creation, his people suffer and die without knowing him, without knowing the great love and salvation he had for them. And he waited until just the right time, in the darkest of the night, to shine his light in Jesus. That had to have been excruciating for God. I can't imagine watching my child go through so much pain and hurt and have to wait. Like, God was patient. That was loving towards us, patient and waiting for that time. And he's patient with each of us as we struggle to seek him, to find him. Though he's not far from any one of us, he's patient as we wrestle to find him, to know and to rely on his love for us. So God is patient. Jesus was patient. And kindness. So many instances that Jesus was kind. But I think of the 4,000 and the 5,000. When Jesus was giving them the truth and the spiritual knowledge that was all important that they needed. And yet, they were hungry. And he could have just let them be hungry for a day and go home and find some food. But God loved them. He cared for their physical needs. Jesus loved them. And so Jesus fed them, and fed them abundantly, not just enough, not just a measured caloric amount that they need to get the right amount of calories. God blessed them abundantly and brought up all the remnants afterwards. So in his loving kindness, Jesus even cared for the physical needs of his people. And of course, Jesus didn't do any of the negatives there. He was not self-seeking. He did not dishonor others. He was not proud, not easily angered. Jesus was very patient and very not easily angered. He kept no record of wrongs. He did not delight in evil, but rejoiced with the truth. And love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Jesus protected the woman caught in adultery. When they were about to stone her, Jesus reminded them of truth. He who has no sin be the first to throw that stone. And so he protected her, and he protects each and every one of us from the power of sin and death. He always protects. He trusted the Father's will. Even when Jesus' friends, in his darkest moment, when the earthly person would need the most amount of help, his friends abandoned him one by one, denied him. But he trusted the Father's will, hoped in the victory that was waiting for him at the other side of the cross in the grave, and he persevered through betrayal and heartache, and even God himself turning his back on him when he was on the cross. He persevered that. That is love. Each of those characteristics, that is love, and that was fully embodied in Christ Jesus. Love has come to live with us. Love is here and with us in Jesus. I love, ultimately, love never fails. Jesus did not fail to give us life eternal with himself, with love, not just to give us this life and then just leave us to our own devices. He wants to be with us intimately, reunited with us, his creation, his beloved. He never fails. He so loved the world that he gave us his son, and love has come down to live with us. despite everything that was thrown at him, despite all the temptation, despite the cross, despite the abandonment, despite being mistreated, all of these things, Jesus endured it. He persevered because he loved us, because he was love, fully embodied love for all of us to see. He brought love from God himself, from heaven down to earth in himself, not just modeling it, but in himself, and then giving it to us through his sacrifice and through the gift of the Spirit that he sent. So we know and rely on the love that God has for us in the person of Christ Jesus. So as we study about Jesus, as we learn more about Jesus, what he did in different situations, and how he walked on earth, we know God's love, and we can rely on it, because Jesus never failed. He persevered. Jesus never failed. Love never fails. And that's what we have to rely on, the love of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, as we talked about the Holy Spirit, Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he sent the gift of his Spirit. He lives inside of us. Love lives inside of us when we submit to Jesus. And so this Christmas season, I've always just thought about, giving gifts and things, like, it's just kind of a cultural thing what we do, just give gifts. But it can be more than that. Like, it can be a small little glimpse of caring for someone. Like, look, we've spent time with this person, we know some of their likes and interests, and so we just get them a little gift to show a small glimpse of love. Like, we don't do it just because we have to. We can do it that way. Or we can do it because we love them, because we love others, and we can show a glimpse in Jesus' name, because Jesus came and gave the greatest love gift in himself. And so that's, just my encouragement for us as we go from here. Like, go celebrating that love has come down to live with us, that Jesus has come, and so that we can know, as we walk with Jesus, we can know Jesus, we can know love, what it looks like, and we can rely on God's love for us that never fails. And I just been thinking about, felt like God was just showing me. He's like, I love each and every one of my people so much. I created earth and everything in it abundantly to provide for them. I sent my prophets to remind them that I love them, to remind them when things looked awful, looked not like who God was, that I was there, that I was waiting for the perfect moment to send myself, to send my son into that darkness. Because I didn't just want to tell them with my creation, with my words. I wanted to tell them with myself. I wanted to put my money where my mouth was and send Jesus Christ to show them my persevering, my never failing, my loving kindness, my patience, all through myself, through the life of my son, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we get to live out and celebrate this season. Jesus coming and coming down. And I would just say, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't submitted to him and come to know and rely on God's love for you, that you would do so. He's pursuing you. He was patient for so long before he sent Jesus to give you that hope and that salvation, and it's come. The mystery of God's been revealed. It's here. Jesus is calling and beckoning and wanting you to come into that salvation. So cry out to him